Church is not structures, it's not infrastructures, it's not what some people call organized religion. The church is the collection of people who follow Jesus, and Jesus is building us together, weaving us as a bunch of misfits, interweaving us together into his church, and it's the work that he does. And it's built upon the foundation of hope and a hope-filled resurrection. And today, we're going to continue looking at the story of Jesus and this Easter story. And I had a question for you, and you're going to immediately come up with the answer you think I want. But I'm going to ask you to look in your own soul for the actual answer, okay? Is that fair? Where do you find hope? Now, of course, the church answer is Jesus. Yeah, I get it, right? Okay, so fine. But for real, as you examine your life, as you examine your thoughts, as you examine your fears, as you examine the places that bring you peace, as you examine your lifestyle, your bank account, your conversations, where is your hope? It could be in money, influence, power. It could be that the right people, at least the people we think are the right people, are in charge, whether that's in our workplace, in our family, in our country. Where is hope for you today? So we're going to look at a portion of Scripture in which you find a bunch of people who had been following Jesus now experiencing hopelessness. The things that they hoped in had failed. This is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 1 through 12. If you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to turn there. If not, I'll have it up on the screen for us as well. And so take a look at this. This is familiar for some of us. For some of us, this is new. Regardless of your familiarity with it, I would encourage you to look upon this with fresh eyes today. So check this out. On the first day of the week, does anybody want to take a guess of the day? Sunday, right? Okay, so the first day of the week, very early. How early? Very early. You were complaining about coming to the 9:30 service. These folks had to get up earlier than y'all. Very early in the morning, they came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. Now, TV timeout. So here is a group of people coming to the tomb, and they're bringing what with them? Spices. Why? What were they expecting? Well, in their culture, in the Jewish culture, you would use spices and linens to honor the corpse. They are showing up with spices. They're not here for chili. It's not those kind of spices, okay? They are here because what are they expecting to find? A what kind of body? A living body? A dead body. Is everybody okay? So these are people who have been following Jesus for a long time, and on Easter Sunday morning, what are they expecting to find? Dead, okay? They are looking for death. You got me? Okay. They found this, so then they show up, they find the stone rolled away from the tomb. If only I had pearls so I could clutch them. Okay, so this is absolutely, so the stone is rolled away. Now, at this point in time, we don't know what happened to the body. In fact, these original hearers, they don't know what happened to the body. They are showing up on this Easter Sunday, having just previously, on what the day we call Good Friday, they watched Jesus be crucified, put to death by Pilate. So they watched him be publicly executed, a public execution, a murder, a severe act of injustice by the hand of the religious elite and the empire. And they watch Jesus crucified, and then they show up fully expecting for death to do what death always done, and that's win. Death always wins. I want you to think about your life. What will think about all the relationships you have, the ones you like. Okay. What will inevitably happen to every one of those relationships? It will die. Whether it's division between you and we're not speaking to each other anymore, or the person actually no longer is breathing, or you stop breathing. Death always wins. It's the most like normal thing in the world when you see someone dead. What's totally normal to expect when you go back to see death, because death is always winning. And it's not just in our relationships, it's not just at funerals. We see death always winning. In fact, Jesus kept talking about stuff like the gospel or the good news of the kingdom of God, and he was constantly contrasting it to the kingdoms of this world or the ways of the world or the power structures of the world. And he would teach his followers that the kingdoms of this world are always lording over, they're always bearing the sword, threatening their people with death. And you see this in families, you see this in workplaces, you see this in governments, you see this. It's the most normal thing in the kingdoms of this world to power up, to threaten death, whether it's death of relationship. I want you to think about work. What's one of the greatest threats? The death of employment, right? Or the death of reputation. And you can find anywhere you look corrupt leaders using the threat of death to get people to do what they want. Is that normal? Is it not normal for death to be wielded as a weapon to create fear and anxiety? Whether the people of Jesus' day made the choice to embrace the empire of Caesar or the insurrection of Barabbas, the choice before all of us is, will we choose the cross or the sword? And the sword brings what? It always brings death. Sword power is simply threatening the end of something. But the cross is the sword inverted. It seems like the end of something, doesn't it? Doesn't crucifixion seem like the end? For the original followers of Jesus, they showed up to the tomb expecting everything to be over. Their hope had been placed in a distorted view of what Jesus was going to do. These faithful women, these disciples of Jesus, show up to the tomb and they expect death to win. Howard Thurman, who is a wonderful theologian and civil rights era leader, he visited Gandhi once. And Thurman was talking with Gandhi, and Gandhi, before Thurman left, they were talking about civil rights and religion. Before Thurman left, Gandhi asked him, he said, could you sing for me that song you Christians sing? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Because what Gandhi saw in the crucifixion is the entirety of the human condition. All of us experience death. And these faithful disciples of Jesus show up expecting death to win. How have you experienced death? Sickness, corruption, decay, betrayal. They went into the tomb, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. We're shocked. Okay. You guys got to work on your shock. Do you want to practice a little bit? Let's just do it. One, two, three. Thank you. We're in a reset. They went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Very good. While they were perplexed, is that not the normal thing to be? Right? Of course, right? If you ever have read the Bible and felt like an idiot, you are in good company. Okay? They were perplexed about this. Suddenly, two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. Now, I did some deep dive theological research. We actually know the names. One was Elton, and the other was John. And the way we, because you see the dazzle. Okay, so straight. A lot of people don't know that, but it's true. Okay, so they go in and they were perplexed. Why were they perplexed? Because they didn't see the body, but they see two men dressed in what? Dazzling apparel. Great. Okay. So let's keep going. So the women were terrified. Yeah. There's no body, but there's two dudes, right? In sparkles. And it's like, what is going on? And so they bow down to the ground. They're absolutely terrified because they had come in to, they had expected the most powerful source, the most powerful thing in the universe, death, to have done what death always does. Win. They were expecting that power to be at play, but it wasn't. And so they're terrified and they bow down to the ground. And then the Elton and John say, why are you looking for the living among the? Wait a minute, why are you looking for the? Okay, so why are you looking for the living among the dead? Now notice, were these faithful disciples of Jesus looking for the living? No, they did not believe in the resurrection that first Easter Sunday until they did. Until they had an encounter, a power encounter. Now watch this. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has, what's the word? Okay, so there's this thing that Christians have been doing for a long time, and it's on Easter Sunday, and we say it's a little rhythmic. You're going to have to follow me here. Someone will say, he's risen, and then the person responds, he's risen in. Now watch this. Now hold up. Now, hey, you guys are jumping the gun. Now watch this. Now, he's risen, and the word is indeed. And I want you to just notice that. Deed, something that was done. He's risen indeed. He did it. Okay, so we want to do it? You guys were great at the gasping, so let's try this. So he is risen. Indeed, he did do it, okay? He's not here, but has risen. Remember, watch this now. So here these two dazzling dudes are saying, watch this, remember. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. Remember the words of Jesus. Remember saying, just what Jesus said, it is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, crucified, and rise on the third day. Jesus kept saying things like, look, we're going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified, and then I'm going to rise from the grave 3 days later. Did these faithful disciples of Jesus believe him? They didn't until they did. And the thing that shifted was a power encounter with the resurrection Christ, because no one believes in resurrection until you do. Every one of us, the most natural thing to believe is that death wins, because what does death always do? Until it doesn't. Resurrection makes no sense until it does. Remember. And then they remembered. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And so here, these women who had faithfully gone to the tomb, they're now going back and they are giving the first Easter sermon. He is risen. And guess what all the other disciples say? No, he didn't. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women were with them, telling the apostles these things. If anyone's gonna believe, it's gonna be the apostles, right? Like, they're the guys who should know the stuff. Jesus told them over and over again. So here, these women are giving the first Easter sermon, and you know what the dudes are doing? What dudes have been doing for a long time, not listening to women. If you listen close, you will hear the sound of dozens of sharp elbows going into adjacent arms. So watch this now. The words seemed like what? Of course it seemed like nonsense, because what does death always do? It always wins. And resurrection is ridiculous, because death always wins. Here, like, I love this about the Gospels. No one believes them. Like, Jesus rises from the grave, goes to the people he's been with for like more than 3 years, and he's like, look, I'm back. And they're like, nah, bro. For those of you that follow Jesus, it is the most normal thing in the world to not believe in the resurrection Christ. So there are many of us wondering, like, why don't my friends believe? Why don't my family believe? Why doesn't this person believe? Because no one believes in resurrection until they do. And the switch is not here, it's here. They have a power encounter with the resurrected Christ. Notice, they did not believe. So, for Jesus followers, let's remember that it's not a logic that calls people in to follow Jesus. It's a power encounter with resurrection hope. Watch this now. The question that I want to invite you to be asking is not so much, why don't they believe? But this is the question. Do they think I believe in the hope of the resurrection? I'm not so concerned about what other people believe. What I'm interested in is, do they think I believe in the hope of the resurrection? Is my life, is my lifestyle, are my words, are my actions reaching for the sword or the cross? Is my life, is my words, is my are my actions showing a resurrection hope? To put it another way, are we living what Jesus prayed? You guys ever heard of, what's the thing called? The disciples go to Jesus and they're like, teach us how to pray. And we call it the something prayer. It's like the prayer of, it's the Jim's prayer. What is it? Oh, the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And it goes something like this. I'll do it the old-fashioned way, if you'll pardon me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? Right here, right now, in me. I'm not so much concerned about why other people don't believe. What I'm concerned about is, do they think I do? Are you living in light of the resurrection now? Now, there are many of us, there are many people, many of us here, even in this room, who are very concerned with the way culture is going, and I just want to give you a word today. The kingdoms of this world are always running against the grain of the God-ordained cosmos. The kingdoms of this world are always begetting chaos and evil. The kingdoms of this world are always concerning. The posture of a Jesus follower is not militant, namely fight a culture war, as if winning the culture is a thing that I could do. It's not militant, it's missional. It's live in the hope of the resurrection today. See, there's two postures. There's the posture of the sword, where we posture up and defend to conquer and dominate. And then there's the posture of the cross. But we cannot embrace the hope of the resurrection with our fists clenched around our power and preferences. You see, Peter and even the disciples who went to the tomb, they don't believe because they're clinging to their power and their preferences, their posture of power over. Think of it. They're clinging to the power of death. They don't believe that resurrection can happen, and so they posture up until they have a power encounter with the risen Christ and they're able to receive. Peter got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen cloths, so he went away amazed. Peter was holding on to the sword power, to the power of death. And then he has an encounter with the risen Christ, and he goes from this posture to this posture. Are we living in light of the resurrection? For those of us that are still trying to figure out what it means to follow Jesus, maybe, again, for those of us that got dragged here, I want to invite you not to look at the hypocrisy of the church to judge Jesus. There are many who are using Jesus' name for personal gain and power, and Jesus recognizes that and calls it out in Scripture. The majority of us are what one might call a work in progress. It doesn't work like this. I turned from my sin, I turned to Jesus, now I'm Jesus. Is anyone aware of this? The path walking with Jesus is a lifetime of confession and repentance, constantly going from our own way and turning back to Christ. And so Christians mess it up all the time. I want to encourage you, I want to invite you to look not at the hypocrisy of people who use Jesus' name, but look to Jesus in his own words, in his own actions, in his own resurrection. The church gets it wrong all the time, but Jesus is so right. I want to invite you here in just a moment to consider what it is that you're clinging on to that's prohibiting you from receiving the hopeful resurrection of Christ and its power today. What are you clinging on to? What power, what preference And I want to invite you, in just a moment we're going to pray, I want to invite you to pour it out. Pour it out before the Lord. And then be willing to receive his goodness. Jesus is nearer to you than you are to yourself. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. He knows you to the very marrow of your being. He delights in you. He has given his life for you. He has conquered over the grave. He's conquered over Satan, sin, and death. There is nothing in this world that can cause us to be defeated if we are willing to receive the hope of the resurrection. Jesus loves you. Let me invite the choir and the band to join me here, and then I'm going to pray and invite you to consider these things. Let's pray together. And so, Lord Jesus, resurrected Christ, even now in this moment, would you bring to our souls the things that we cling to so tightly? Would you give to us, by the power of your Spirit, the courage and the wisdom to pour it out before you? That we might be a people who hope, who live in hope of the resurrection. That we might be a people who day by day, moment by moment, are shaped by the truth that death has no victory over us. And those that threaten us with death are ultimately exhibiting weakness in light of the power of the resurrection. And so, Jesus, we cling to you, knowing that you love us, you're powerful to fulfill your promises towards us, and that one day all that which dies will be resurrected again and restored. It is in the hope of the resurrection that we live and move. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.